There are many Christians who say they are born again, but in their place of work, they wouldn't want other people to know that they are not ordinary Christians. They are radical disciples of Jesus Christ. They don't want people to know that because it might affect their job prospects. It may affect the benefits they get from their unconverted bosses at work. So they try to hide the fact that they are out and out disciples for Christ. They'd like to have the mark in the hand, but you can't. It has to be on your foreheads. Symbol, remember, it's a symbol. Signified. And then it says, they sang a new song, verse 3, which no one could learn except these 144,000 who've been, and the word there is redeemed from the earth. Redeemed from the earth means they've got detached from earthly things. These are people who have been detached. The cords that tied them to earth are cut. They are heavenly people, living on earth, but heavenly people. And they are not being defiled with women. Now the women, again, signified, remember, don't take them as literal women. The women mentioned in Revelation are the daughters of Babylon, the harlots. Harlot women, spiritually harlots, that is. Those who claim to be the bride of Christ, but commit sin with the world. It's like a girl engaged to be married to someone, but fools around with other men here, and claims to be engaged to married to Christ, but fools around with the world and lives for the world. That is a harlot. See, a non-Christian can never be part of Babylon the harlot, because a non-Christian does not even claim to be engaged to Christ as his bride. No. They say, we got nothing to do with Christ. Who are the ones who can be a harlot? Those who claim to be engaged to Christ. But their whole way of life on earth is just like anybody else in the world. They live only for money and pleasure and honor. They're afraid to witness boldly about Christ lest they offend their friends and relatives. They, in the midst of their unconverted relatives, they behave just like them. There's no difference. They're not like the light. They try to be like a light in the church, but when they go to the unconverted relatives, their light is hidden under the bushel. Nobody can see it. This is not the 144,000. These are people who are bold. And so the women mentioned are the daughters of Babylon, the harlot. And they have not defiled themselves with spiritual prostitution or spiritual harlotry. That means they were faithful to their divine bridegroom. This is the bride of Christ. And they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Now that's not true of the great multitude, which we saw earlier. They were only washed in the blood of the Lamb. Many of them, as I said, were aborted babies and all. They never got a chance to follow the Lamb wherever he went. Like the thief on the cross, people like that who was last minute saved people who never got a chance to follow the Lamb wherever he went. I mean, if you ask the thief on the cross, you know, some people say, what does it matter? Finally, when he go to heaven, that's all that matters. No. It's not like that. So supposing, let's take an example from the earth. Supposing a person says, I'm living on the earth. It doesn't matter how I live, doesn't it? Whether you're a homeless man begging on the streets, or a king in the palace, both are living on the earth, but there's a world of difference in their way of life. It's going to be like that in heaven, I believe. The equivalent, the spiritual equivalent of the homeless man who begs on the street, who says, I'm also in heaven, and the king in the palace, spiritually speaking, in heaven. There will be a world of difference. Those who were faithful and those who were not, those like the thief on the cross, if you ask him today, he's in heaven, no doubt. If you ask him today, hey, you are a thief and a murderer, and aren't you happy that you're in heaven? He'd say in one way, yes. But boy, what regret I have that I can never show my love for the Lord. I never got a chance to do that. Here I am enjoying all the benefits. Here there's no opportunity for sacrifice. I never get a chance here in heaven to take up my cross every day and to show my love for God. In the years I lived on earth, I never took that opportunity. That is going to be the regret of many people. You know, we had a great man of God in India. I believe he was the greatest man of God India has ever produced. His name was Sadhu Sundar Singh. He died in 1929, the age of 42 or something. A man who was converted from a non-Christian religion by a vision of Jesus when he was 15 years old. Radically converted. And he lived the next 27 years completely for Christ. Persecuted, almost people tried to kill him. But he used to say something just like we say, like we tell people, once you die, you'll never have another opportunity to receive Christ. He used to say, once you die, you'll never have another opportunity to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Quite another perspective. Once you die, you'll never have a chance to accept Christ. The only thing, you're going to heaven. This man says, once you die, you won't get a chance to take up the cross and follow Jesus. How will you show your love for him? In heaven, where everybody's praising him, you're also going to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. It costs nothing. It's here where Christ is unpopular, where the way of the Lord is dishonored. This is where you can prove your love for him. And that's where the 144,000, they followed the Lamb wherever he went. They've been purchased as first fruits to God. And listen to this. No lie was found in their mouth. When they were born, the Bible says in Psalm 58, every child is born telling lies. But these folks had so cleansed themselves from that spirit of lying that they got from Adam's flesh, that by the time they came to the end of their life, there was no lying in their life. There was no hypocrisy in their life. No lying means no hypocrisy. What you saw was what they were. What you saw on Sundays in the church was exactly the same when they were at home with their wives on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or exactly the same when they were in their place of work during the week, exactly the same when everybody else was having road rage on the busy roads. They were witnesses for Christ there. There was no difference. They were the same here and there. There was no lie in their life. That didn't happen automatically. They cleansed themselves. They cleansed themselves. They had road rage just like everybody else in the beginning, but they saw it as something wrong for a Christian. That if Jesus were driving a car, he wouldn't get furious with the car in front. He would be patient. And they decided to be like that. That in the place of work, even though there were crooks on the left and right, they decided to be upright. There was no hypocrisy. If you caught them by surprise somewhere, they were what you saw in church. They were just the same. This is the mark of the bride of Jesus Christ. They are not specially holy on Sunday. Their language is not specially holy on Sunday or in the church or with other believers. Their language is just as pure and holy when they are in the midst of unbelievers, in their place of work, on the roads or anywhere. And people irritate them, call them the devil, whatever it is. There is no lie in their life. What you see is what they are all the time. That's a very small number. So people say, you mean to say there are only 144,000? I say, I'm surprised that there are 144,000 who cleanse themselves so much that they've come to this life. Because there are very, very few people about whom Jesus can testify, like he testified about Nathanael. There is a man without any guile. There is a man without any lying. And Nathanael was not even converted. What Jesus was saying is, what you see in Nathanael is what he really is. He's not pretending to be holy here and something else in private. I've often thought of that. When I read about Jesus saying that about to Nathanael, behold a man in whom there is no guile in Luke and John chapter 1. And I read some of these statements of Jesus and I say, Lord, can you say that about me? Can you point to me and say, there is a man in whom there is no guile? Oh, Lord, I'll do anything if you can say that about me. I want it. The commendation that Jesus gave to Nathanael. I don't want any commendation saying the greatest saint on earth or anything. Great preacher, no. There is a man in whom there is no guile. There is a woman in whom there is no guile. You can be like that. Maybe you can't preach like me, but can't you be a person without guile? He doesn't say these 144,000 were great preachers or healers. No. Gifts are not even mentioned. Gifts are not going to be important when you stand before the Lord. It's your life, the way you live, that's going to be important. The Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, when Jesus had not exercised any gift of the Spirit. Never healed anybody, never preached, never cast out a demon. The Father said, I'm happy. What did he see? His life. Teaching us that it is your life that's going to determine everything in the final day. So this is the 144,000, and I want to encourage you, persevere to be in this number. What type of church should you join and be a part of? I'll tell you. A church that encourages you to be like this. Where every time you go to that church and you listen to the word of God and you meet the people in that church, they challenge you to be like this. Wholehearted, radical, sacrificial, following the Lord. That's the only type of church I want to be in. That's the only type of church I want my children to grow up in. Because I know that that's what will matter in eternity.